Support comes from St. Louis Public Library Foundation, helping the library serve children and their families with programs and services needed to become lifelong readers. More information about the foundation is at slpl.org.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. For folks who had to dial up internet in the 90s through the very early aughts, this was the noisy herald of online connection. But even before the days of the internet, there was another mode of communication that involved a keyboard and made its own distinct sound. If you've never heard that sound, it's a manual typewriter. For our guests Shane and Amanda Byrne, it's a sound they love so much they've opened a newish store to make it accessible to others. And that couple is with us now in studio to share the backstory of their shop / workshop / museum / community space, Clickety Clack Typewriters in Rolla. Amanda and Shane, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Thank you. We're so excited to
be
here.
Yes, thank you for having us.
Thank you so much for coming from Rolla. Now, let's start with the inspiration for the store, and that is falling in love. So, Amanda, how is it that typewriters figured into your life in the past?
So I am a writer, and I journal, and Shane was traveling for work down to Houston, and it was during COVID, so it was 2020, so he drove, and he stopped along the way. We love antiques and things, and he found a Royal Quiet Deluxe, and he sent me a picture. He says, "What do you think?" And I was like, "This is fantastic," and so he bought it, and that was the first one. He bought it in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and I named her Etta, and I journaled and with her and wrote stories, and then it just kind of took off from there.
Yeah. Had you used a typewriter before that point? I mean, was there maybe one in your home or at school?
So I remember vaguely my mother having one in her study, and then she also signed us up for typewriting classes, and those were electric models, but she had a manual one when I was growing up.
Mm-hmm. So, Shane, as you're traveling and you've landed in Baton Rouge, was there something in particular that you were looking for when you went into the antique mall? I mean, did you have a typewriter in mind, or was it just serendipity?
It was serendipity. Like, I just came across it. Like, I'm stretching my legs, and I'm like, I'm just going to go look around and peruse and see what's here. And then, I started messing with this typewriter, and I was, like, checking out the mechanics, and I was just like, oh, this is actually pretty sweet. Like, the nice action, it was smooth, and I was sold. I was like, yeah, this is – I kept trying to think, like, how could I use this? And it was like, all right, well, Amanda's journaling, and so it was like no-brainer. I picked it up, and, you know, rest is history, and then shortly after – we were collecting typewriters from all over the state of Virginia at the time.
Right.
And we'd even overpaid a little bit.
I was wondering about that.
Yes.
So that first typewriter that you bought, tell us a little bit more about it. You know, what makes it special? And how much did you pay for that first machine?
Well, it was under $50. Yes. And it came with a case. It even had an owner's manual. It was actually in really good condition.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as far as the case goes, as far as the machine, it was pristine. Most of those old typewriters, because people smoked, you know, that would end up being full of tar, gunkiness and stuff like that, which we learned later on of, you know, everybody smoked, right? And so,
right.
You know, cleaning a typewriter that's old, you know, you're going to encounter that kind of issue with, you know, the whole thing with the smoke damage and stuff like that to clean up and get it very nice and polished, I should say.
Right. Like a smoke-filled room with that, the sound of the typewriter is very romantic, but the reality of having to clean something like that.
Yes, absolutely.
So what are some of the other typewriters that you came across that really felt like, oh, this is something that is for use, but it also feels like an art piece, Amanda?
Okay, so, oh my goodness. The Art Deco of the 30s and 40s, those typewriters, the shiny piano black finish, it's just, those are stunning things that you see across the room, and the light shines. They're beautiful. But also the mechanics, one of the first typewriters we did buy when we started collecting, Shane found for me a Corona number 3 foldable, portable. Mm-hmm. And just the engineering of that and the fact that it folds into this tiny little box, and war correspondents in World War I would take it all over Europe because it was light and so portable, and just the fascination. So the one that I have, that one is named Esmeralda.
Okay. E-names here.
E-names. There's only a few that have names. I think only those two. But that is a 1916 Smith Corona. And so if you think about it, it went through the Spanish flu pandemic and then also the Corona pandemic. And it's over, and it's a Corona typewriter. So it's over, yes. So it's over 100 years old, and it still works. Mm-hmm. And that is the true beauty of the of these machines, is the fact that they are old and they've taken a beating. They've seen things. They've written stories and letters and, you know, who knows what. And they still work. Our phones are not going to work in a year from now.
Right, right.
Know? So they're going to be trash. Mm-hmm. These things, no, they keep going.
And how, when you say tiny, like, what are we talking about? If you were to, like, approximately the size of a...
It is less than a foot square.
It's about the size of this piece of paper, mm-hmm. as far as the box
goodness.
Goes.
Okay.
Yes. It's about this, the size of a sheet of paper, mm-hmm. Average sheet of paper. And then there's, you know, they came out with another version that was more of a improved model with it, which it had a ribbon reverse mechanism in part of that, and then it also had 2-shift keys on the later ones.
But the functionality too, it has only 3 rows of keys, so every key does 3 purposes. It does a lowercase, a capital, and then your figures, like all your character figures, your numbers, and all of that.
Okay.
So that is one of the things that made it lighter. And once journalists got used to typing on it, they really liked it for the speed and efficiency,
right.
and the fact they could take it wherever.
Mm-hmm. Yes, portability is very important.
Yes. Yes.
Well, and being able to multitask is definitely something that's a positive as well. So going from this collecting of typewriters then to opening the store, how did that happen, Shane?
Well, so essentially we had a vision of basically sharing our typewriters, and at the same time not just share our hobby but actually share the love of creativity. And I must say Amanda was spot on with creating this boutique kind of setting, not just having a shop where I have a workbench in there where people can come in and they can actually sit next to me and shadow me if they want to see how to repair a typewriter, or if they want to just hang out and try various typewriters and get that. It's like the old school shoe fitting type of thing where, you know, you walk into a shoe store and get fitted. It's the same thing you do with a typewriter, because everyone's a little different. You know, the strength of the fingers is very important, the rise and run of the keys. And then the personality, like what colors are available, you know, the curviness, you know, it's...
But so, and to expand on that, though, so I wanted us to have an experience, because when you hear the word shop, a lot of times you think of like a mechanic shop or something like that, and you smell the grease and the oil and things like that. But like he said, I was thinking more along the lines of dresses or dress fittings. You know, you walk in and they bring you things to try.
Sure.
And so we scoured Facebook Marketplace and we found authentic typewriter desks so that people can have an authentic typewriter experience. But we had a young lady come from St. Louis. She was home from school out east. And she called and she says, I want this specific typewriter, because she watched Doctor Who and she was super excited.
Oh,
and she really
sure.
just, she's like, I want this model typewriter. Do you have it? We're like, yes. And so we opened up, we met them after hours, her parents came with her, and she was great. But I told her, I said, I know you think you want this typewriter, because back to those Art Deco piano finish,
yeah,
those are
right.
they're beautiful. I said, you see a typewriter and you think, that's what I want. I said, but I want you to try several different kinds. And she did. They spent probably over an hour, and then she picked the typewriter, and I said, so why? I said, why are you going to take this one home? She says, I know it will get used. Mm. I like the other one, but this one I know I will use.
Right.
And that is our goal, is to make sure that people go home with a typewriter. They're happy with the service, but also they're going to use it.
Yeah.
That's our main thing. We want them to use it and be creative and be joyful with it.
So that utility part of it.
Yes, absolutely.
So what is it that makes a typewriter a good typewriter? Or like, what is the difference between one that is, you know, serviceable and one that is going to, you know, take you through the ages, so to speak, Shane?
Right. So we have typewriters that will be passed on for generations as long as they're maintained and the covers are used or their cases are used. Pet hair is not good for a typewriter. Let's just say that, because it can clog the segment is what it's called, but the keys themselves won't hit properly, won't strike properly, and it can get into the ribbon mechanisms and things like that and really cause a havoc.
But don't get rid of your pets.
Yeah, don't get rid of pets.
Oh, yes. We have three dogs. You just have to cover your typewriters. That's all.
Yes,
anyway.
Yes. But the quality, though, like Olympia's, for example, they really had it engineered not just for the mechanic, but also for the end user to be able to do their own servicing and use a little brush and really sweep out the typewriter. I mean, they made everything accessible for the most part, from the large desktop models to the portables.
Now, but to say also, I don't think there's not a good versus bad typewriter, because again, it depends on your personal preference.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody might love typing on a typewriter that, for my small hands and my little fingers, my fingers get lost and jammed within between the keys. So that's not going to be the typewriter for me. Whereas somebody with big hands may not like, you know, the typewriters that I prefer. So there's not really like... I might even be almost, it's like, yes. There's no such thing as a bad typewriter.
Right, right.
So there's an Italian.
There's a person out there. There's a typewriter for you.
Yes. Right, right.
So the Parvanterra's portable typewriter, it has small key tops. And my big fingers, I will double mash those keys all day long. And so, yeah, so it's like, it does come down to a preference. And that's considered what they call an ultra portable.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're talking a 10-pound typewriter or less, you know, and it's pretty amazing, even the engineering behind the simplistic piece of that. So Amanda's right, though. It all comes down to the fitting, the size,
right.
You know. Yeah.
We're going to take a very quick break here. Clearly, we're just scratching the surface or hitting just one of the keys. But when we come back, we'll continue this conversation about typewriters and clickety-clack typewriters in Rolla in particular. But we want to hear from you. Do you have a typewriter story to share, or maybe a question about a specific maker model that could or should be part of Clickety-Clack Typewriters Museum? Let us know by calling 314-382-8255. That's 314-382-TALK. You can also send us an email at talk@stlpr.org. Don't go far. We'll be back shortly. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio.
If you have a smart speaker, you have access to the entire world of NPR and St. Louis Public Radio. All the latest news and all the captivating stories. Activate our voices with yours by telling your smart speaker to play St. Louis Public Radio.
Let's return to our conversation with Shane and Amanda Byrne. They're the married couple who opened Clickety Clack Typewriters in Rolla just this May. And we're talking about the way that they work with typewriters in their Rolla store and some of the models that they've seen and worked with over the last several months. Now, one of the things for those who are just joining us now, I'd like to know more about the way this store functions as more than a place just to buy things or to get repairs done. The community aspect is something that really intrigued me in the story that my colleague Jonathan All did about your store. Tell me a little bit about that, Amanda, in particular, the type-ins that you do.
Okay. So a type-in is where typewriter enthusiasts, or if like Shane and I, we have a number of typewriters, you bring them to a place and allow people to just come and experience typewriters. Our first type-in was a Valentine type-in, so people wrote letters. But people come in and they write poems. They write whatever they want and they take it with them. That's the thing. What is really interesting is watching the reactions of people, whether they're children or adults or even older adults who, like, flinch when they see the typewriter because that's what they did their theme papers on, and it had, you know, the typos and things.
Oh my gosh.
We get a lot of that. It's like, oh no, I never could. But then they're still drawn because there is a nostalgia there. But no, the community aspect is just the sharing of the creativity and the unplugging, the slowing down. I love it when I see young people typing and they just think it's the coolest thing. And they can spend hours just creating. And they're away from their phones and screens.
Is there a specific interaction that you've seen that really sort of stands out in your mind as the image of why you do these type-ins or any community work to begin with?
So the very first community thing that we did was at the Fall Festival, and we partnered with our local public library. And we just set up in the library or in the front on the street there. And we did it in particular because I miss the interaction. I worked at a elementary school in Virginia. And so when I moved, I don't teach anymore. And I miss that interaction. I was like, well, let's do this, and like kids will love it. What was interesting is when you have an event where you're trying to engage children, parents are often usually just relieved, you know, like, oh, I have a break, I have a minute to just kind of recharge, you know. They pull out their phones, say, look, yes, everybody does it. There's no shame in that at all. But the best thing was is that we were not needed. We stepped aside. The parents showed the kids how the typewriters work.
They showed grandparents.
And the grandparents.
Yes. Yeah.
They had this moment together that it was just fantastic. And so they were sharing this intergenerational knowledge. And yeah, we were not needed. We stepped aside. It was great. It was a beautiful thing to see.
Yeah. Well, because it is a shop where repairs are happening, I'm sure you get lots of questions. And to that point, we have Rue, who is calling from St. Louis with a question. Rue, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Hi.
Hello.
I bought a necklace with an antique typewriter key on it. And on it, it says that it's a floating shift. I had never seen that key, and I was wondering what kind of typewriter it came from and what that key was used for.
Yeah, so that was your shift key, essentially to make your capital or characters, and it came from an L.C. Smith machine.
Oh, what is an L.C. Smith machine?
It's a very kind of an old machine. Floating shifts were out there pretty much in the 40s. And roughly up to, don't quote me on this, but I think up to 49, you could see the floating shift, especially with the glass keys, if that's one of those that actually has the glass in it still.
And,
oh, yeah.
Rue, where did you get this necklace?
Oh, I don't know. Either a craft show or, you know, something like
that.
No. Oh, no. Because it's not being used now in a typewriter. Is that
right,
why you're
right.
saying no? Okay.
Yes.
So does this help you understand how and where to wear this necklace now, Rue?
Oh, I wear it all the time. I love it. I've had it for
wonderful.
Years. And it's just beautiful. Mm-hmm. The floating is written in a real scripty, flowy cursive.
Yes.
It is. That is a beautiful key top. And if you're in Rolla, you can come by and check out the museum. And I think we have a couple
that you can actually see
type
the floating.
On maybe. And
yeah,
then,
we even have one available to even type on that has the floating shift.
Yeah. Rue, you can see it in its natural habitat.
Exactly.
Yes.
Right. We come through Rolla on the way out west, so I will stop next time we come through.
Oh,
nice.
Great.
Rue, we would love to have you.
Thank you so much for calling, Rue.
Okay, bye.
So that actually gets us to a great point. You two have brought a couple of machines in from your store, your museum. And Shane, you'd mentioned something. No, Rue had said something about script. And one of these machines in front of us is a script typewriter. Amanda, tell us about the machine in front of you.
Well, actually, this is Shane's machine. My script is in the other room, but so I will let Shane talk about it.
Yeah,
it's a 1958 Voss Deluxe with script, and it's very unique. It was busted when I had it, when I'd found it, and I was able to source the parts through other various typewriter shops and enthusiasts to help me get this thing resurrected, and it types beautifully. And it even has a green ribbon to go with the green keys and the green base.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, you know, that's not something that I wasn't thinking about the different colors of ribbon.
Correct.
Although, yeah.
Yes. And so we sell various colors of ribbons in the shop itself, especially when you purchase a typewriter from us or when you get one cleaned. Mm-hmm. We give an option to our customers of a custom ribbon if that's what they'd prefer.
Right.
And so, yeah.
How many hours would you say it took to go from busted up to the condition it's in now, Shane?
Once I sourced the parts, it probably took me, I would say, a good 20 hours altogether to make it right and get it tuned.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I want it to be right.
Yeah, yeah. You, Shane, have in front of you a machine, I think, that you brought in partly because of what I said about a core memory.
Yes.
Dealing with an electric typewriter. So if you could turn that on.
Sure. The beautiful hum.
Yes. Beautiful in some ways, maybe not in others. So this machine, tell us about who it was for and where it was sold.
Okay, so this typewriter came to us from a gentleman that was cleaning out his mother's basement. It was hers her whole life. And she just, basically, this was what she'd used in her later life, and the son wanted us to have it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had an opportunity to obtain it, clean it up, and, you know, we'll pass it on to our customer, you know, when that time comes.
Yeah.
They're highly sought after for the younger kids because it does have the electric return, or the older adults as well. Like, that seems to be the two spectrums that love the electric, just because it's easy to deal with.
And can we hear some of what it sounds like when you type on that, and
sure.
The electric return in particular?
Yes.
Sorry, I'm giving you a lot of words.
Okay, here he goes.
Okay, that's kind of dissatisfying. And we could turn that off now so that we don't have that hum.
Sure.
So these machines, and the one that you have in front of you, it says Sears, but it was actually made by
Smith Corona. Yes.
How much of that was happening in the time that typewriters were being mass produced?
Yeah, so it started off like with a Underwoods, and then you had something that called a Rex, which was another, it was an off brand, it was a Sears brand. Those are pretty rare. We actually have one of those available, you know, for people to see. Tower is another type of model that was sold, but it was actually a Smith Corona as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, this one's a power return because it's electric. But yeah, you would see that quite a bit. But Smith Corona pretty much had that market. And then you had Brothers typewriters, which were made in Japan. And they would actually market like Montgomery Ward or even Sears,
sure.
At that point. Like they were under different names.
Mm-hmm.
You have to think about like the Wish books that went out at Christmas.
Okay.
Older people will know what I'm talking about. But
sure.
So the catalogs that go out. But so, yeah, they would rebrand so that they had their own house brand. But it was like a Smith Corona or a Royal or something
mm-hmm.
like that.
And interesting enough, though, like the Sears brand or a Tower sometimes had special features that the ordinary Smith Corona didn't have. And that's
okay.
What set them aside, whether it was an upgrade to the keyboard or it was an upgrade to the case. Things like that. It was,
to
and
make
even
it
the color code. Yeah, to make it exclusive. Even
mm-hmm.
the color code. Like this is an apple green,
mm-hmm.
and so you didn't see that all the time.
Is there a way to Frankenstein?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely.
So, if you could Frankenstein, like the perfect thing, what would it be?
I would love to have a Latin typewriter. And put it into an Olympia SM7. If I had that, oh my gosh, that would be the holy grail.
So the an Olympia
SM7.
If you were to compare it to a vehicle.
Oh, it's definitely up there, like Jaguar, Lamborghini,
oh, okay.
Bugatti. Like we're getting into like.
Oh my!
I mean, Bugatti is like the Voss in the Olympia, like
okay.
like the early Olympias, like
right, right,
just. Different.
Well, and on that note of Voss, I do want to have you, Amanda, type on the Voss that's in front of you. And again, this is a script typewriter that was made in West Germany.
Correct.
That is correct.
Right? And for those who can't see, it is green ink.
And it's cursive. That it's script cursive. Means cursive.
Yes. That the pushover.
Which is, it is very satisfying because that's one more line written.
Right, right. Well, it also is making me think that we should be talking about breaking news with some dramatic music over that. And it also was not lost on me that when I think of clickety clack, I also think of a very, like a staple NPR program. Click and Clack, the Tappert brothers who used to talk about automobiles. So,
yes. Oh, okay.
So, as we're looking at this holiday season, is there anything, Amanda, that you have planned at either Clickety Clack or other places that sort of is in alignment with what you would like to do, you know, with and for community?
Absolutely, yes. We are, again, working with Coffeesmiths in Rolla to do a Letters to Santa Day. So we're working on solidifying what day that's going to be, but that is will be our next type-in adventure. So,
And how many people do you typically have coming out to these events, Shane?
So that one particular Valentine's Day, we had roughly 500 people show
up. Oh, my goodness.
And we had, luckily, we had 8 typewriters to choose from, and we had short pieces of paper that we had figured out how to use so that people could get on a typewriter and then come off, and then other people would be able to share in the joy of being able to, take something tangible home with them from that experience. And we had various typewriters to choose from. We even had one gentleman bring his typewriter from St. Louis and ask me to, like, work on it and show and actually, you know, help him with putting a new ribbon on and how it worked and everything else. And so it was a really good experience in that sense, right? Yeah. And, the kids, and we had all ages. We had old adults to little kids typing on a typewriter just to get the experience.
And in the last 30 seconds or so, Amanda, what is it that makes you feel like this work is worth it, especially as, you know, this is both a retirement for you and Shane?
Oh, so as a writer, I mean, yeah, words are important, and to be able to communicate your thoughts and feelings and desires and all of that, and to have this mode of creativity, this outlet that is so different than a phone or a laptop or a computer. It's a full sensory, full body experience to type on a typewriter. So it brings out it's just a different way to create.
Amanda and Shane Byrne are the owners of Clickety Clack Typewriters in Rolla. Thank you both so much for driving here to join us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This episode was produced by Elaine Shaw.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see Time is of the essence.
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.